Aloha! Welcome, my friend.
Aloha, Ron. I think that was more like the tourists do it, but yep, we planted them. We were like you, homeless, for 25 years, set up, tear down. 7 years ago, God gave us a property we took over, and we planted 38 palm trees on the property. Two of them we dug out of one of our, some of you may know Pastor Sean Blomquist. If you've been to the CF Walk, Sierra perhaps. Well, we made a deal with Lynn, his wife. We went over and we dug those palm trees out of their front yard in trade for landscape in their front yard. No experience, couple of we believe in Jesus and we can do this kind of a thing. We took two 40-foot palm trees, 6,600 pounds each, brought them over, stuck them in the ground, prayed they would stay. While we were picking up the second one, the first one began to lean. We said, hurry up with the crane. it stayed, and they've grown. So it's so much about palm trees. Anyway, I remember, this is good to be here. I remember the first Church Without Shoes retreat when you came back to this area. I specifically remember that. And I remember you, and Sean knew you. And I believe some others did. I did not. And I thought, who is this guy? And the Lord has shown me and as well as you who this guy is. And we're blessed he's in our presence. Amen? And I know you guys, I feel like this is kind of a bar mitzvah kind of thing or something, even if it's been 20 years, because I know you from when you were just a glimmer in Sean's eye in birthing a church. And so you're not alone. You've never been alone. You may have never known me, but myself and many others have walked with you and prayed for you and contended for you and continue to do so. So it's a joy and an honor to be here with you today. Amen? So I want you to feel blessed that you were here, that I was here. So would you all stand up? Stick your hands up in the air if you can. Turn this way. Put your hands forward. Move forward till you touch the shoulders of the person next to you and make them glad that they came to church today. All right? Give them some love. Lift them up, turn it around, and it is better to give than receive. All right. If you feel like it, you can go ahead and sit down. If not, do whatever you want. I don't want any of you to feel like you didn't get anything out of the message today. So if nothing else, I hope you're glad you were here. And as Ron said, and as Chris can testify, we had a completely different message prepared today. Already gave him the slides and everything like that. My associate pastor, Sharon Wood, is now our lead pastor, and she was coming with me, and we were going to do this together. She's a symphony violinist, plays in four symphonies, as well as works with a New Day for Children, which, by the way, will be where our offering goes for our Maundy-Thursday service. You guys familiar with New Day? Enough that I don't have to talk. Anyway, and she's just been, last few weeks, she's been doing concerts, Modesto, Sacramento, different places, four nights a week, getting home about 1 in the morning. Her arm, she wanted to play violin with you guys, and but her arm hurts, and I found that she was coming out of submission to me. And, you know, that's not what I want. That's not what God wants. So I'm here all by my lonesome. I'm a little scared. And why was I telling you that? Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I know, because I gave you a completely different message. And Thursday morning, I meet often with Sean weekly. And felt like the Lord wanted us to do something different. I sent Sharon a message and said I thought it might be best if she didn't come. And she sent me a message back saying, you know what, my prayer this morning, and she sent it to me, was, Jesus, I don't feel it. It's not in me, but I'm trying to submit to Art. And I said, so it was an answer to prayer. And I said, Sean, here's what I have planned, but I wonder if, since I'm coming by myself, if this would fit better. And he said, you know what? That's what we're doing. So hopefully I'm meeting you where God is at work in your life. Amen? And do you know I'm not going to show that? Okay. All right, good. Yeah, that's a beautiful background. Anybody have any idea where that is? It's over by my house at Paso Nogal. Park, just a little walk up there. You can see you guys just below the little mountain up there in the back. Anyway, let's get to the message, okay? Because I only have 45 minutes, I think, or an hour. Okay. So, let's go to the Matthew 5 verse. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem stood as a reminder to the people of Israel of who they were and what they were there for. And what Jesus says to us from the newer testament is, he says, you were the city. You were the city. You were New Jerusalem. You were the city set on a hill. And he starts out like this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, that doesn't sound too great, does it? You know, I'd like to be the diamond. Yeah, you know. But how many of you like potato chips? How many of you eat potato chips? Okay. How many of you eat them without salt? It's not the same, is it? You know? Salt makes a difference. And the difference between you and salt is salt just sits there. But you are salt that are sent into the world to make a difference. And just like eating a potato chip without any salt, it's kind of bland. You know, if we don't know who we are and what we're here for, we don't fulfill our purpose in the world. And the church becomes bland. The church just becomes another thing. And one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves or somebody is, who are you and what are you here for? And so what Jesus tells you is that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's not good for very much, guys. And so he tells you you're salt, but it's possible for salt to lose its saltiness. That doesn't seem right, does it? It doesn't seem right that the church forgets who it is and what it's here for either. Can I get an amen? And it just really says it's not really good for anything. And he goes on and he says you. How many of you are here today? Point to somebody that's kind of nodding off, okay? But I want everybody to say your name out loud. One, two, three, go.
Mary.
Let's do it again. One, two, three, go.
Mary.
You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. And a city on a hill cannot be hidden, at least in theory. Amen? See, he tells us who we are and what we're here for. You're to be salt and light in the world. And it seems to me, and that's why we're doing this emphasis over the next 40 days, is that many of us in the church have forgot who we are and what we're here for. Can I get an amen? And we think we're just here for us. And, I need Jesus to help me get by. No, you have a purpose. God's not done with you yet. Amen? And what do I have on the next slide? Okay. So Jesus teaches his disciples how to be light, how to be salt into the world. And you know what? He has them practice it. This is pretty early in his ministry. In Luke chapter 10, he does it with the 12. In Luke chapter 9, he does it with the 12. Luke chapter 10, he does it with the 72. I'm not very good with numbers. They all seem the same to me. Yeah. And he sends them out. He says, here, I want you to go do this. You've seen me do this a little bit now. Now you guys go try it. And he says this. Now go out to the villages around here, and he says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. Now, how many of you, lived in the 70s? Peace to this house. That's not what he's saying. Peace. Peace is the word shalom. And he says, you take everything that God has given you, and you go speak that shalom, that provision of God. And aloha, by the way, is a word very much like that. You mostly hear it if you're kind of a tourist as hello and goodbye, but aloha is a word that is packed just like shalom, that has to do with affection and care and kindness and compassion. So when next time you say aloha to someone, recognize that you're giving them the aloha of Jesus. And that's what we want them to receive, yeah? So he says, if go to this house and say peace to this house. Hey, shalom, God is good. God loves you, whatever that is. And if a person of peace is there, everybody say person of peace. And we're going to abbreviate that as pop, P-O-P. So if there's a pop there, your peace will rest on him. They'll receive it. They'll receive your teaching. They'll want to know more. If not, it will return to you. No skin off your back. Amen? Okay? Now, have you ever tried to share Christ with somebody and got shot down? Practice on me, I'll shoot you down. No, you know what I mean? But we make it about us, and we get, I'm afraid to share with you. Just shake it off. It's okay. It didn't cost you nothing. Peace. Oh, you don't receive it? I still got it. Amen? I didn't lose anything. Okay. So this should be our prayer. By the way, you have a little thing. Would you wave yours in the air? What's your name?
Sabrina.
I was up here with the ladies. Not close enough to get burned, but close enough to be warmed. Okay. So thank you, Sabrina. But this should be our prayer as we go out every day. Because we're conscious of who we are and what we're here for. Lord, bring into my path today a person of peace. And give me the grace to speak your words to this person. And you know, the only way that you really share Christ is intentionally. The only way that you salt the earth is to intentionally pay attention to where God's at work. Now, for this 40 days through Lent that Ron talked about, we're going to focus on something. How many of you have a phone with you? Go ahead. I know most of you hide it when you go to church because you're actually doing it. Okay, take out your phone and show me, would you? You know, and by the way, I sent, while you're worshiping, while you were talking, I do something like this, and I want to encourage you to do it. As I videotaped, 1 minute, I can send, a one-minute message, and it goes. But while you were talking, Ron, I thought, man, I sense a good word coming. I did a minute, and I sent it to somebody. And I sent them a blessing. Does that make sense? Use your phones during church. Use it for good instead of what you do it with. Anyway, open it up. Open it up and go online. What I'm going to encourage you to do is to go to ilent.org. ilent.org. On the front page, check this out. Right over here. Look at that. See, I have an arrow on the end of my finger. It says subscribe. You click on that, and every day through Lent, a scripture will come to your email. Now, you don't have to subscribe, but you're welcome to, okay? You go ahead and click on continue with today's reading. Can you do that over there, Chris? Is that going to happen if you do it? Okay, we'll see how your Wi-Fi connection is. Otherwise, I'll pretend it worked. And what happens, okay, is every day there's a different scripture. And we have pastors and leaders from across the country. 49, something like that. From Alaska this year, Hawaii. Just a moment of silence, please. Okay, as we reflect on the promised land. And across the country. And what they're doing is they're looking at how Jesus trained his disciples to be salt in the world, to go make disciples. And so every day there's going to be, like there is here, Luke chapter 10. There'll be a verse. And I just read it to you. When you enter into a town and are welcome, eat what's offered to you. Heal the sick to those who are there. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. And the big view is the person of peace. So that pastor, that leader is looking there and saying, here's how I see the person of peace principle that Jesus taught us at work in this passage. So that goes under observation. So Dominic Kahn is a friend of mine, about 28 years old, pastor of Missio Community up in Portland, Oregon. And he says his observation, I'm reminded, having read this, I'm reminded that I can't do anything on my part. Is never going to convince someone to receive the good news of the king and his kingdom if they're not ready to receive the message being proclaimed. Have you figured that out? Somebody that's not ready, somebody doesn't want it, just keep pounding them. Well, eventually they'll break. It kind of doesn't happen like that. So what he says, here's my action. And what you want it to do is be personal and specific. Okay? This is about me. This is not a should. This is, here's what I hear God saying, here's what I am going to do about it. Though I cannot change people's hearts and make them receive the message of the kingdom, I'm still going to be ready and be obedient to share stories of good news as I am present with pops in my life this week. I'm going to ask Jesus to help me perceive how he is already at work around me. And then I'll be ready and obedient to proclaim, notice the P's, I'm emphasizing those, okay? They're going to be important soon. Proclaim what he tells me and entrust the results to him. Now, what you're invited to do is go online there as well to be an example just the way they are. Not to go, Dominic, that's so awesome. Good luck, dude. Okay? But you have an opportunity. Here's how I see the principle at work. And here's how I am going to apply it in my life today or this week. Does that make sense? Okay. So you're invited onto that journey. Give me the next slide. Let's see what happens next. Oh, wow. Okay. I just checked the time. I was thinking it goes to 15 after. Okay. I already skipped the whole Old Testament part, right? Okay. So here, as you think about a person of peace, here's the easy way to think about it. It's someone who likes you. You give them your peace, you give them your shalom, and somehow there's a connection. They like you. They listen to you, okay? They receive something in your life, whatever it is, and then they want to share or serve you. So what happens with the disciples is they go, they say, peace unto this house, and there's a need. They pray for them, whatever it is, and they say, why don't you stay for dinner, okay? Somehow they want to serve you. So that's a way you can discern a person of peace. Now, when you think about a person of peace, I want you to think about that as a big view, because most of us, you ever have that conversation with somebody, what'd you do this weekend? And you, being a good Christian, they say, I went to a bar. I went to a ball game. What did you do? Oh, I went to church. And the discussion just moves away from you. Have you noticed that happens? Okay. By default, what we've learned to do is instead of doing what Jesus taught his disciples to do, we when we go, oh, I think they might have been interested. They didn't leave when I said I went to church. We kind of go, hey, God. We say the G word. And if they stay, we go, want to come to church? Our pastor's really cool and our band rocks. We don't know how to share our stories. Does that make sense? So the person of peace, rather than making it a default to invite people to church, is how do I become salt? How do I live into what God is doing in the lives around me? So the big view is the person of peace. And then I'm going to take this picture, and it's like I've walked into this room. Hey, I think this is the life of a person of peace that God is at work in. What door is he opening for me to step into to invest? Does that make sense? So real quick on, was it Sabrina? Yeah. Serious? Yeah. I never get names right. I was so ready to be rebuked. I feel like you should anyway. Well, ask Gerald and Jamie. But anyway, so take this out, and let's take a peek here, okay? Let's just walk through these kind of quickly. Perception. The first thing I do is I step in that room as I look to see where God is at work, Because it's not about me. I just, all I can do is come alongside where God's at work. So I just want to stop, look, and listen. You know, some of us were just on Christian programming. Oh, somebody's open. And we have this recorded thing that comes out, yeah? And I don't even like that, amen? I remember some guy out on the street not too long ago, who I knew, another pastor with his little megaphone out there on the street. And I'm riding by, and he's, "You're going to hell!" You know, and all, you know how that is? I went around the corner, I pulled over where you're not supposed to stop, downtown, got out and said, "Hey, brother, got any good news?" You know what I mean? You're just yelling out there, "I'm going to hell. I'm not going to hell, dude." You get it? We need to come alongside where God's at work, not where I'm doing stupid stuff. So where is God working? What door is open? Presence. Jesus is always where you are. You never go anywhere. Jesus hasn't gone before you. Can I get an amen? Amen. How does my presence matter today? There's a reason I'm here. And sometimes it's just my presence that needed. I am not the guy you want to visit you in the hospital. No, you know why? I'm not very good at it. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to get sick. I think I'm going to die. I remember the first time I visited this lady. This is like 1989. I have grown a lot. I went to visit her. She had a brain tumor. The surgery where they take your head off and all that stuff, and they put it back on. I'm her pastor, so I go see her. It's okay if I'm touch you. My wife said I should ask. And I touched somebody in the grocery store yesterday, and I went home and I said, "Honey, I'm not supposed to touch women in the grocery store, I bet." And she goes, "Nor talk to children." And anyway, so Bonnie takes my hand and she says, "Pastor Art, let me pray for you. I know how hard it is for you to come to the hospital." I won't tell you the next thing that happened, but anyway. So sometimes just being there is good. Preparation, investing. What do I need to do? Where's God at work? Okay, I just met this guy and he speaks Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, but I have a friend that does and he seems to be receptive. I'm going to go get my friend who speaks Spanish and come back. Does that make sense? What do I need to do to step into the invitation and challenge where God is at work? The next one is passing relationships. I call it a bump and run. How many of you are golfers? I gave that up, but I know what it is. Amen? And I mostly, yeah, that's how I describe my golf game, bump and run. Anyway, passing relationships. These are just people that come into your life for a little while. It might be just in line at the grocery store, yeah? And you're just somebody that's on the way. You can do something. You don't have to be the opener, the closer, and everything, right? Paul says, some plant, some water, others harvest, yeah? So it's, where am I, okay? I don't have to do everything. Sometimes just be nice. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I wasn't I wasn't going, oh, salt opportunity, you know. I just being normal. I got there. You ever go into the grocery store and get the little baskets, the little ones you carry? So I remember when I came in, there weren't any. And here when I got over to the 15 items or less, you ever cheat? Anyway, I'm over in that aisle, and there's a whole stack of those baskets. And I thought, it doesn't do him any good being here. So I picked him up, and I went and I put him at the front door. The lady behind me, "Oh, thank you so much. That was so nice." And you know what? I said, "Jesus wants you to be saved. You're going to hell. Let me get my megaphone." I didn't do that at all. I just said, "Yeah, thanks. That's all. What can I do that might be meaningful or memorable?" And I don't know what God was doing in that woman's life for her to think that that was something. It wasn't that big a deal, but maybe she was a place where there's nobody good or nice in the world anymore. And somebody just did something nice. And maybe it opens her up for the next person who's saying, "God loves you." Does that make sense? So the next one, the long drive, permanent relationships. Am I paying attention and responding to what God is doing in this person's heart? These are people in your neighborhood. These are people in your family. How many of you have people in your family you've given up on? How many of you do, but you don't want to raise your hand? How many of you have been that person in the family that was given up on? A lot more hands there. Amen, Mick? Yeah. We're still not sure about you. But here's the deal. Giving up is stupid. Amen? Why? Because God's not done. I can stop pushing and wait till I see God open a door, and there's a big difference. Amen? So have eyes to discern. The thing, something that struck me that, you know, I've been reading the Bible a long time. Ron, Luke chapter 4, the woman at the well. You know that verse that says the fields are white under the harvest? You know that one, right? I'm just looking for affirmation. It's in the Bible. Mahalo. That means go back to where you came from. But what Jesus does when he says that, you know where those fields were? Not at all where we would think they were. They were in Samaria. It was among the Samaritans. And my word to you is very often the very place you think God's not doing anything and there's not an opportunity, Jesus is saying the fields are white unto harvest. And that may be in your neighborhood. That may be in your family. That may be in your schools. That may be in long-term relationships. And then power. God shows himself mighty. What's the opportunity here? Somebody's saying, you know, I can't sleep. I've got arthritis so bad, you know. Well, is God saying, and I'm not saying every time there's somebody that has an illness that you go, I need to do this. But God, where are you at work? Are you asking me to step into the naturally supernatural and to pray for healing or blessing or finances or whatever it might be in that person's life? Does that make sense? I'm not telling you to be a weirdo. I'm telling you to go where Jesus has already gone before and following him into that place. And then proclamation, tell the story. That's where you actually share the good news, okay? About receiving Jesus, when Jesus has done for you. But it's not a pre-recorded message. It's about the life of Christ in your life, meeting that person at their point of need and pointing to the cross of Jesus Christ and the life that he has for him. So it is telling your story. Is this pop ready to receive the good news? And what are the words that you have for me to share? Now, just my last little deal here is, I think a great example is Acts chapter 16, where we find Paul and Silas in prison. Not exactly the place you're hoping to go share the gospel. And there's an earthquake, right? And the jailer sees there's an earthquake, assumes everybody's gone. He's about to kill himself. Paul comes out. Remember what Paul says? Don't kill yourself. We're all here. Interestingly enough, the jailer seems to be a person of peace suddenly. He says, what must I do to be saved? Well, there's an opportunity there for the proclamation of the gospel. And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And we find that he did believe and his whole household. In Luke 10, where Jesus starts this, as he sends out the disciples, they go out and they do this and they come back. And the amazing thing is they come back and they go, oh, Jesus, you know what happened? We did what you said. And it worked. I want to invite you to do what Jesus says instead of what you think you should be doing. Does that make sense? And then here's the deal. They come back and they say, you know, we're so excited. The demons were subject to us. And he says, guys, that's awesome. But don't get so excited about that. Here's what I want you to be excited about, that your names are written down in the book of life. Covenant comes before kingdom. This isn't about the show. This is about living out of the relationship, living out of the identity that you are salt. And living out of that, I become light in the world. It's not about, look at my light. Does that make sense? And then he turns to his father and he thanks his heavenly father for their work in the world. And that's my invitation for you. That's my commission for you today, is to go out into the world. Know who you are. You are salt. You are light. No matter who you are, your story matters. God saved you on purpose, for a purpose. Go out with your eyes open. I encourage you to come to the website, come share, to have a reminder to every day be intentional to just look around where God is at work. Because sometimes we get so into our work, we forget where God's at work. And we miss the opportunities. Amen? Amen. Should I pray? You want me to pray or you want to come? Okay. Okay. Worship team or something supposed to happen. You know. Let's do the offering again. Here's how you spell my name. Okay, you go ahead, stand up, I'll pray. All right, everybody stand up. Lift up your hands. Lord, we raise our hands to receive your commissioning. We are your disciples. We have been sent. Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we forget who we've been sent to. Sometimes we've got beat up and we've taken it personal. God, heal us, forgive us, remind us today who we are and what we're here for. Let us not force anything, let us not try to make anything, but let us have our eyes open to see where it is that you are at work so we can come alongside your work, so we come back and go, Jesus, what you said actually worked. I want to do it again. Fill us up and thrill us. In your son's name, amen.